Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 758, and we're recording it on Friday, August 29th, 2025. Show about technology and ministry. I'm Martin Spriggs, and I am joined, as usual, by Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you. It's holiday eve.
It is. Long weekend coming up here.
Mm-hmm. A little bit early for us.
Yeah, it marks the end of the summer and the beginning of a new round of Wells Tech Focus. And we try and kind of tie the seasons of Wells Tech to the summer season versus the rest. And this is the rest. And we get to do some things with educational technology, but we always try and find a focus for the year. And it's probably going to be no surprise to anybody that we've decided that we probably could spend a little more focused time in different areas of AI, artificial intelligence. And we've actually given it a little name with a Lutheran flavor, AI. What does this mean? Because that is really the question, right? And in fact, that's kind of the question about technology in general. How do we use this? How do we take advantage of some of the things that are in front of us these days for the work of the gospel and the good of the ministry? So that's going to be kind of fun. We will figure this out as we go, but that's going to be our focus for the year. How are we feeling about that, Sally?
Well, I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling excited because I think AI has a lot of potential, but I also see it as a double-edged sword. And there's a lot of potential pitfalls and concerns out there regarding using it in ministry as well. So I think to have a balanced approach and to, you know, kind of flesh out those things that could be problematic or whatever, and also just share some good common practices that could be a benefit in ministry.
So our focus for the show today is actually a document that has been created. The Lutheran School's office had been getting a lot of queries about sample policies and what should their position be on the use of AI, both by faculty and by students. So, and we're speaking specifically of elementary schools, but also our high schools. And everybody's kind of trying to figure this out as they go. So there is, and you've heard about us talk about this on the show before, we have a Wells AI task force. They're meeting every month. And one of their first orders of business was to craft a document that could be used for the coming school year by principals, by technology directors, leaders in the area of AI. We called it Guidance on Artificial Intelligence Tool Usage in Wells Elementary and High Schools. So it's kind of a formal document because we wanted to kind of make this the official stance, at least as it stands today. So we broke it down. And some of the concerns that were coming out of the Lutheran School's office is many of our schools really didn't know what the laws might be about AI usage, especially for children under 13, which many of our students, of course, are in our elementary schools. So there are legal considerations, especially when you're dealing with COPPA and FERPA. If you're not familiar with those, it's easy enough to look those up. Children's Online Privacy Protection Act is COPPA, and it applies specifically to services, online digital services that are aimed at children under 13, and collecting information, knowingly collecting personal information from children under 13. So we took a look at both COPPA and FERPA in this document, and I'm not going to read through the document. It's how many pages we got here? It's a lot of pages. Let me scroll to the bottom, 11 pages worth of stuff. But it is nicely laid out, and I think would be helpful for any school leadership to have in their back pocket as they consider the use of AI. Some of the concerns around using AI in schools would be that if you're using a tool like this, very often it requires or should require parental approval. And there are good ways to do that, and there are ways that you can't do that. And this document addresses those. So one of the concerns using AI is you are potentially exposing personally identifiable information, or in the biz, they call that PII. Full names, student IDs, birth dates, addresses, academic performance. You might be tempted to use AI to do stuff with that information, and that's probably not a great idea in most AI tools. So this document addresses that and suggests looking for PII or FERPA, COPPA compliant AI tools. And there are more that are coming out, but typically those are subscription-based. The free models don't always do that, although some of them are. And in fact, Google's Gemini in the Workspaces edition that many of our schools use does have a way to use that legally and with full confidence that the information is being kept private. The other part of this document, and again, we're not going to read it all, is sample policies. So we created a sample parental permission form statement, and it talks about the use of AI that is in compliance with COPPA and FERPA, and talks about maybe the parent's responsibility in this whole process. So that's one of the forms. And that's typically a form that's trotted out during the registration process, similar to getting parental permission to take photographs, those kinds of things. Then there is an organizational AI usage policy for the school as a whole. And the purpose, and so I'll just read quickly that because that's not as clear, to establish clear guidelines for the responsible, ethical, and legally compliant use of AI tools for all faculty, staff, and students. This policy aims to leverage AI's potential while safeguarding student privacy, promoting academic integrity, and upholding the school's Christian mission and values. So it talks about AI usage at a high level and how and who should be involved in that process, including the technology director or principal, parental consent, continuous review, consequences of misuse, that kind of stuff. And then two of the meatier parts of the document are the student AI usage policy and the teacher AI usage policy. So clearly, the student AI usage policy would talk about, and could be modified, this is just a template, talking about academic integrity, of course, and the concern that this is a cheating tool versus a learning aid. And then it gets into privacy and safety, never putting in your personally identifiable information, paying attention to age restrictions, responsible use consequences, those kinds of things. Then the teacher AI usage policy has some of those same things, but talks about pedagogical purpose, you know, why it could be used, should be used, academic integrity, clear expectations, data privacy, of course, COPPA compliance, but also how it could be introduced into the curriculum, professional development, ethical considerations that you should be thinking about as a teacher within a school. And then something that you may not think about, transparency. Be transparent with students and parents about how AI tools are being used. So if you as a teacher are using AI, it's a good idea to be very upfront that you are and how you're using it. That's just a good model for AI usage. So yeah, a lot of the questions that were coming as well, do I need to share that I am using AI to build a lesson plan or work with the curriculum or creating other content that is distributed to parents or students? So interesting stuff. So again, there's a lot more to this, but I think it's a good start, at least a starting platform from which to have a discussion and maybe something you could consider at your school. So that's kind of the big deliverable from one of our first big AI task force meetings. There'll be more to come, but this was one we wanted to get out before the school year, and we did. It was sent out, I believe, by the school's office a couple weeks ago with a link to it. Mm-hmm. We'll also have a link in the show notes to that, and hopefully that'll be helpful.
And since you tipped off that we're going to have a link, we're actually going to dedicate a page in the show notes to mm-hmm. This particular subject that we'll be covering throughout this season. AI, what does it mean? A repository of artificial intelligence tools for use in ministering churches and schools. And we'll link to each of the podcasts as we record different topics. And then we've actually Google-fied that beginning document and created a shared drive. And so you can actually visit the Wells Tech AI resources shared folder. And again, this will develop over time, but we'll be adding different things like guidance, and it has that particular policy that Martin just shared, but in Google Doc format. So it's possible mm-hmm. that you'd want to adopt that, some of those things into your policies as well. We broke down each of the policies that Martin shared for schools specifically. And there's some, you know, before you start, kind of read me information, and then the four policies are listed there. So if you want a Google Docs version, this would be a great place to start. And then you can edit in your school name and make other edits as you desire based on your review of the documents and things to personalize it to your school.
Yep. And we've created a shortcut to that, right?
Right. You can get to this page on the Wells Tech website at wellstech.wells.net/AI. And it'll also be showing up here in the menu. It actually should be already. But yeah, so there'll be an AI there link in the menu as well by the magic awesome. Of refresh. Yeah, and yeah. So, yeah, all these things will be developing, like we said, over the season. The one piece that I don't have represented here yet, but I will definitely add it, is the fact that we felt like there might be some conversation around this. Mm-hmm. And we gave that a little consideration and decided that we already have a great conversation tool. And that's the Wells Tech Google group. Our most confident and reliable group of techies out there who are always willing to jump in and assist and answer questions about how they're doing things. And we've learned a way to kind of hashtag any of the messages that are sent to the Wells Tech Google group to combine them into a particular label. So we're using hashtag AI, and we'll be adding labels as needed based on those hashtags. And that's going to combine all the threads around AI into a particular area in Google Groups. So definitely keep the conversation going over in Google Groups. We'll have a link in the show notes if you aren't a part of the Wells Tech Google group, where you can join and ask questions or give your two cents around AI policies for schools in particular this month.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that curated, well, it won't be so curated, but the discussions that'll come up that we've been able to kind of filter on just AI. So kind of an AI one-stop shop, hopefully, for us. So good deal. So that's just a tip of the iceberg. There'll be other things that we'll be talking about. There are obviously so many dimensions about LLMs, how to create your own, other tools out there, tips and tricks, experiences, use cases. A lot of these things we'll be considering at the task force level as well. So, in fact, there will be a survey going out to coworkers, I believe, in the next month about AI usage. So that may be another show topic where we kind of get to look at the results of that. So I'm very interested in what's going on out there in AI land within Wells. So, all right, Sally, should we move along to our tips and or picks of the week?
Well, yeah, right after we make a quick mention that we do have a segment on the show for ministry resources, and we took a break from that over the summer, but we will be developing and sharing new ministry resources throughout this season of Wells Tech. And our first, believe it or not, is going to be that AI repository page that we've created on Wells Tech. Again, the shortcut link is wellstech.wells.net/AI, and I'm excited to see it develop over time because this is just a very small beginning, and we know that there'll be lots of topics and discussion around AI throughout the season. So that's our ministry resource. We have a compilation page on Wells Tech of ministry resources. So if you want to look back at past ones and things, you can do that as well. And it's up there in that top link area as well, called Ministry Resources. So yeah, catchy title.
Yeah, we kind of cheated this week because we already mentioned that in the discussion topic section, but it is truly going to be an ongoing ministry resource all season long here.
Absolutely. So. Maybe beyond this season, since
we'll
definitely be changing with AI. Even as we speak, they're changing. So,
for sure.
All right.
Picks of the week. Sally, you're up.
Yeah. I wanted to share something that has to do with team building. And I think all of us are part of teams, whatever flavor that might take in your secular jobs, in your ministry positions, called positions, support positions, whatever it might be. And one thing we like to have is good team continuity, I guess would be a good word to use, where you are comfortable working together and, enjoy each other's company and treat each other with love and respect and that kind of thing. And a way that the Scrum process develops that or encourages you to develop that as a team leader is to have some time where you just kind of relax a little and have some open discussion time around topics or games or whatever it might be, team building activities, whatever it might be. Most recently, our teams in the Wells technology area have been using just random question generators. So a random question might be to start a meeting. If you were offered the position of mayor of your city, would you take it? And that's interesting. And some people might feel very political and willing to jump in there and excited by that. I remember back in the day, one of the mayors of New Ulm was a MLC professor, that might be right up some people's alley, and you might learn a lot about them as to whether or not they are interested in that kind of thing. So you can definitely generate more questions. This is randomquestionmaker.com. What board game do you like the most? If you could get rid of one disease in the world, what would it be? They're just kind of all over the place, random kind of conversation starters. And again, you'd be really surprised at how far this goes towards just kind of breaking down barriers and allowing people to relax a little and show who they really are and their thoughts and things and growing that team in the process. So randomquestionmaker.com is my pick of the week.
Yeah. The advertising isn't too bad on there, but
no.
You get to the thing. Just be careful what you click on there. But the generator is really super simple, and it's come up with some really good questions. I sit in on your meeting, you know, with the developers and the software services group, and some interesting dialogue. Yeah, you really get to know somebody when you queue up some of these questions.
It's true.
Like your favorite day of the week, Sally. What's your favorite day of the week?
Actually, today is because it's Friday before a 3-day weekend. That can't get much better, can it?
Right, exactly. Once we get our work done here with the podcast,
there you go.
All right, my pick of the week is actually a rerun. It is a blog post called 48 Handy Gmail Keyboard Shortcuts to Supercharge Your Productivity. It was updated. I picked this 3 years ago in 2022. And they updated this late last year with some revised shortcuts that have been added to Gmail. I use Gmail a lot. I think I probably have 6 or 7 Gmail accounts. I've got some personal ones. I have one for our congregation work. I have one for MLC. Got them all over the board. And the web version, I believe, is still kind of the best way to experience Gmail. But because it's a web version, you don't have some of the traditional ways of working with it. So keyboard shortcuts are kind of helpful. Rather than always clicking, you know, the delete button or reply button, there are some things that are really useful. One of them is, well, how do I know what keyboard shortcuts are available? First of all, you got to turn them on. So you have to go into settings and do that. But second, to show the keyboard shortcuts that are available to you, shift question mark is the way to bring those up, and it gives you kind of an overlay of all the keyboard shortcuts. And there's some that are inbox wide, there's some that are specific to the message itself, there are some that are in the content creation, those kinds of things. Some of them are universal, like Command or Control K in almost every application will create a link, so that kind of stuff is easy to remember. But there are others that are sometimes muscle memory, you need to kind of train yourself to use these. And I'd say there's 4 that I use all the time. One is delete. And it's easy for me to remember that the delete key is D. So if I just am on a message and I just want to get rid of it quickly, I just hit the D key. So that's one that I use almost all the time. But there are 3 others, mostly related to labeling and archiving. Archive is E. And if I'm not deleting, I'm archiving. And the difference being, I never want to see the thing I delete again. But archiving kind of stuffs it away in an archive that, you know, it's now searchable. It's not deleted. It's not going to be gone after 30 days, like I think the default is for Google Trash. So it's just stuff to keep around, but it's no longer in your face. So E for archive. But then sometimes you want to archive, but you also want to give it a label. And there are 2 other keyboard shortcuts for that. So label is L. So if you're on a message, you just want to give it a quick label. And remember, in Gmail, labels are kind of like folders. So L for label. And the other one is move. And that is V. It's a little hard to remember until you use it quite a bit. And move, the difference between label and move is move will actually label it and then actually get it out of your inbox. So it's kind of like a combo label and archive at the same time, if you're familiar with Gmail. So those are the big 4. There are others, you know, like reply or forward. Forward is F. Reply, I believe, I don't use it as much, but I think it's R. So just some quick things to optimize your Gmail usage. Most of us, I think many of us, maybe not most, but many use Gmail. And it's kind of nice to just be able to whip through mail quickly with those keyboard shortcuts. So there's a good article that talks about those shortcuts.
Yeah, and one that's pretty clear and straight to the point, giving you a very succinct description of each thing and what the shortcuts are. So
yeah, Yeah, a lot of people don't even know these exist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
All right. That's our picks of the week. Community news and feedback, Sally.
And I'm going to reference that Google group that we talked about earlier in the show, Martin. This is actually a thread of discussion out on the Google group that happened this week when Mark Thiesfeld asked a question regarding Google Slides. He says he wants his Google Slides for events and announcements to go from one computer to two different TVs in two different lobbies while being able to continue using that computer for other work. So multitasking, two different locations, few challenges there.
He's not asking for much, is he?
Yeah. The slideshow would be running in the background. It works well using a Chromecast from one computer to one TV, but I can't cast to multiple TVs. He could do a wired connection with HDMI and Cat 5 or 6 cables and a splitter. He understands that, but he wondered if there were other people that were doing other things. And what else is needed in the mix if he can't do it with the hardware he already has? And boy, did the Wells Tech community chime in. Let's see, there were four, five, six, seven different responses. And I think I venture to say
like 5 hours or something. Yeah.
Every one of them was different. So this is one of those tech things that you can solve in so many different ways. And I just encourage you to go out and read through the thread if you are in need of this kind of solution, because everyone had great suggestions and some required extra hardware like a Roku or a Fire Stick or a Chromecast or whatever. Some of them required other things. Yodek.com is what Michael Vlieger uses, for instance. So it's a subscription-based website that he makes use of, and it's free for one display. But when you start doing multiple, that's when it starts costing. So he says that he actually, during basketball tournaments, displays four different YouTube live streams on a jumbo screen. That's pretty impressive, I think. You can watch all the basketball game in front of you as well as four others at the same time if you so are so inclined. So lots of different solutions here. I just bet one of them would fit your needs as well as answer Mark's question. So definitely check it out for a good flavor of Wells Tech Google group, and then head on over and join it. We have links to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm tempted to run AI on this and create a blog post on all the different options there. That would be, might be a useful thing. Pretty cool.
That's great, Martin. I'm glad you're always thinking about ways that AI can assist and improve.
So need some time and help people. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sally, if somebody wanted to contribute to the show other than the Google group method, are there other ways to do that?
Most definitely. We've mentioned already our website, wellstech.wells.net. And when you visit wellstech.wells.net, you can add a good old-fashioned comment to any of the posts that are out there. This will be episode 758. You could go all the way back to episode one if you needed to and add a comment there. Just, you know, let us hear from you. Let us hear what you're doing in terms of AI school policies, if that is a comment you want to make on today's show. Also along the very top banner in the upper right area are links to all our social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We have Digo account, Pinterest, and Instagram. And so you can click into any of those and make comments. And Martin and I are sure to see them because they come in straight to us. And then finally, we have good old fashioned email represented here. You can email the two of us at wellstech@wells.net. If you have ideas for the show or feedback on what we've discussed or additional community news in the area of tech and ministry, we would love to hear from you at wellstech@wells.net.
Very good. Sally, I do have to give you major kudos for your work on wellstech.wells.net. I was just looking at that as you shared your screen and just the images that you create for every show. That's those are nicely done. So you use, remind me what you use for that.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I use canva.com, mm-hmm. and that's where the image for the AI page came from as mm-hmm. well. So just a powerful tool with excellent graphics that are ready for sharing with our audience.
Yeah. So great resource, wellstech.wells.net. All thanks to Sally Draper. Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to about do it for our show this week. We will visit again in a couple weeks. Between now and then, hopefully you'll get some mileage out of the content that we bring to you. And next time you come, bring a friend. We would love to expand the conversation and talk to you all about technology and ministry. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.